I just popped up there. Did you see how I did that? Magic. It is good to see you again this beautiful Sunday morning. And your smiling faces with your mask on. So Sandy told me, she said, "I'm smiling." I said, "I can see it with your eyes," because their eyes and mouth are connected. So it is wonderful to be here. If you have your bulletins quickly, we'll look at some announcements and then we'll move on into our service. Don't forget about tomorrow night. There will be an advisory council meeting at 6 o'clock in the Family Life Center. So we'll probably send out a phone tree to remind everybody that's not here this morning that you're here and on a part of that. And the deacons, all deacons are also welcome again to come to the advisory meeting. And then Wednesday is our Bible study. So we'll continue our study with the characters of the Bible, finish up with Isaac, and then move on to Joseph. So come out and join us. We have a good time discussing and reading and studying the Bible together. After the service today, we'll be showing the Father's Day video. So it's about 8 minutes long, as Mother's Day was as well. So if you have a few minutes, 8 minutes to spare with us, stay for that. It'll be good. You'll be blessed to see that one as well. Is there any other announcements before we go to the Lord in prayer? Is that for prayer concerns?
She was going to get a heart.
Okay. We'll look at that, the prayer concerns, okay? Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your blessings. And Lord, we thank you for the privilege you give us to enter into your house, to worship, to praise, fellowship with one another, to study your word, to hear your word, to sing praises unto your holy name. And those that are listening this morning, whatever the needs are, as those that are here today, we all have special needs. And Lord, you are the great physician, and you're able to meet each need according to your perfect will. And be with all churches and people over the lands and countries, that your presence would be felt as they worship you as well. Lord, we thank you for the many blessings that you share with us, the things, Lord, that you provide for us. Lord, thank you that we're able to share our ministries to those listening by video, by YouTube as well, that their lives should be touched by hearing your word, your name just mentioned. Lord, we're all blessed. Our God reigns. Lord, we thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally be strong in the Lord, and I'm the strength of his might.
Okay. Our scripture reading this morning was by Lakota Moore, and we appreciate that. Was Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. And again, that verse says, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. So thank you, Lakota, for sharing that with us this morning. As far as any praise reports other than what's in the bulletin there this morning, Tony Sutton coming forward last Sunday, and Junior Powell for his special music last Sunday, we appreciate that as well. The birthdays, no anniversary birthdays are in your bulletin, so you can look at those today as well. Any other praise reports you'd like to share? Yes. Okay.
Friends with teachers, all of his classes went well. He had perfect attendance. He made straight A's in all of his classes. So he's got a 4.0 grade point average. So I just couldn't really be more proud of him.
Mm-hmm.
He really worked hard and had a great year, and he's excited to go back and be a sophomore. I can't believe he's a sophomore.
Okay. Okay.
I'm really blessed.
Thank you, Lorraine. Justin. Any others before we go to prayer? Yes, Bob. Yeah. Okay. Okay. All right. Yeah, we'll share that in a few minutes with prayer concerns too. Any other praise reports? Okay. Looking at prayer concerns and needs, we want to remember the family of Charles or Charlie Franklin, whose service was this past week. And as Bob mentioned, Brenda Huntington had a knee replacement yesterday, so let's lift her up in our prayers as well for a good recovery. And Ed, you can call Carol in the morning and fix that.
One regular doctor. Okay. She went in for a valve replacement and they could not do it because they didn't have enough room in the ICU to put her in the ICU.
Okay.
This is the third time that they have postponed her surgery.
Okay. All right. So we'll keep praying for her, and hopefully they can get that worked out.
Tony Atkinson is in the bulletin. That's Haley Mills' grandpa on her mom's side. He's been in and out of the hospital. He has stage 4 COPD, so breathing has been very difficult. He's back in the hospital again on the ICU. So just remember them because it's been touch and go.
Okay. What was that name again? Okay, Tony Eckerson's, okay.
And then also Johnny Sizemore, who's on our bulletin, he passed away yesterday.
Yes.
So that's Candy Sizemore Lawrence's father, if you know her, or Candy Sizemore, high graduate.
Okay, and also have a Tracy Mason who passed away as well, so let's remember that family. Also, on Facebook, I saw where... reading where Pastor Bill Sechrest, pastor of the First Baptist Church Aurora, he and his wife both have the symptoms of COVID-19 and will be going for tests tomorrow. So let's just pray that it shows up negative, but they're both pretty sick right now. So, and at home he will not be preaching today. So let's remember Bill Sechrest and his wife, Angel, that they will get well soon, and their test tomorrow will be negative with the COVID-19. That's all I have. Any others before we pray? Go, let us pray. Father God, we come to you again, humbly before your throne, lifting up all of these prayer needs, concerns, and praises that we've heard this morning as well. Lord, you're the great physician. You know all things. And you can work all things out according to your will. And on behalf of all of these that we names have been mentioned this morning, we just pray that your will be done in their situations and their circumstances, Lord, and with the families lost loved ones and those who are recovering from surgeries, those that have symptoms of COVID-19, the Bill and Angel Seacrest, Lord, we just lift them up to you for your blessing, for your healing. Lord, for our country, our nation, for our schools, our families, our communities, Lord, we know that you are a God of blessings. You are a God of redemption. And we just pray, Lord, that through our prayers and your great mercy and grace, Lord, you will sustain and intervene in each one of these situations and make them good. Lord, we trust you. We depend upon you for all things. And we thank you, Lord, that you're always here for us. You always provide, always care, providing everything we need, healing, sustain us in all things. We praise you and we thank you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. At this time, Nancy Durham's going to be coming and singing God Bless America.
From Lil Powell several weeks ago in one of my Nancy nourishments. She said, when we go back to church, you need to sing God Bless America. And I've been thinking this week about how we sing the chorus of God Bless America, and it's a nice patriotic song. And I'm not going to do the verse, but if you listen to the verse that precedes the chorus, this really is a prayer. And when Kate Smith sang it, she talked about how, or she sang about how we need to be grateful and we need to pray for our country. And so that's what we're going to do today with God Bless America.
Very appropriate. That song's appropriate at any time, isn't it? Amen. Well, this morning, take your Bibles and join me in Isaiah again, chapter 52, verses 7 through 12. In the previous verses, we've seen where Israel was delivered from exile from Babylon. and how God was working on their behalf and always working on their behalf and our behalf in our world today. And today, the message is our God reigns supreme, and you'll see that in verse 7 when I read it in a few minutes. And Isaiah is proclaiming that the Messiah, when he returns, there's going to be shouting and joyous proclamation of Christ's return one of these days, which would be his second coming. So it's something that we need to be looking forward to each day of our life. We need to be ready and prepared at any moment when Christ returns. And when we think about everything that's going on in our world today, it would be welcome, wouldn't it, to see the Lord come in the eastern sky and call his church and all those who proclaim the name of Jesus and call them home. But until then, we keep doing what we're doing, worshiping and studying God's word and being faithful in all ways that we can glorify his name. So look with me in Isaiah chapter 52, beginning with verse 7. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who bring good news, who announces peace and brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation and says to Zion, which is Jerusalem, your God reigns. Listen, your watchmen lift up their voices. They shout joyfully together, for they will see with their own eyes when the Lord restores Zion. Break forth, shout joyfully together, you waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, that the ends of the earth may see the salvation of our God. Depart, depart, go out from there. Touch nothing unclean. Go out of the midst of her. Purify yourselves. You have carried the vessels of the Lord. In verse 12, but you will not go out in haste, nor will you go as fugitives, for the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard. And looking at this scripture this morning, I believe there's a new awareness of what God is going to do burst upon God's people. Not only then, but now, if we're faithful, continue to be faithful. See, those who understand it as good news will, what I think, will celebrate it in the glory and the joy of the Lord. Now, as marvelous as creation is, and as faithful as God's providence has been, it is what I would say redemption that is man's greatest hope, blessing that we can behold in our life now and through eternity. This fallen world is caught up in the bondage of sin and decay, and creation is a fate of marred. And providence only makes its fall and decay bearable. It's the only thing that I can say to that, that creation, fatally marred, and providence only makes the fall bearable. Now, if deliverance from sin and its effect are possible, then the erring children of creation may yet be led by God's providence to our Heavenly Father's home. Now, such news would be the cause of great joy, and the greatest glory would be for the one who would cause it to come truth and reality. It should become that, truth and reality. So let's look this morning how God reigns over all things. He's in control of all things. And first of all, let's look at God restores Zion in verse 7 and verse 8. I read verse 7 a while ago, and a similar verse to that is in Romans chapter 10, verse 15, and that is the verse of the week. So write that down. I hope you're writing these scriptures down as I give them to you, because they're so relevant to our society today and the message and what God is, how God speaks to us through His Word. So I want to read verse 7 again, and Romans 10, 15 is similar to this verse 7, the first part of verse 7. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who announces peace and brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation and says, Zion, your God reigns. Now, in the Old Testament times, there was no instant way of getting news. Today, we have all kinds of ways of receiving news or transmitting news or receiving news. There was no television programs could be interrupted to announce the decease of a power that had overthrown a government somewhere. No emails to convey information instantly to the chief of staff, to his field marshal. None of that back then. And guess what? There were no Associated Presses. Hallelujah, right? to intervene or give out information, whether it be good or false or whatever. So, if any army was fighting a battle, the news of the outcome was sent to the homeland by a runner. That person probably had to be in good physical shape, didn't he? To be a runner, to run messages back and forth from the lines to back to the home place to let people know what was going on. So the people of the city knew a battle was being fought. So they would line the city walls, eagerly awaiting the news of their army defeat or their victory. And Samuel talks about this in 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse 26, about the runners and the watchmen and so forth, people waiting for either good or bad news. Now, notice the victorious announcements here in verse 7. It says, our God reigns. He does, doesn't he? He reigns from heaven, and he's in control of all things. And we can be excited about that. And actually, Psalms 96:10, Psalms 47 and 93 talks about our God reigns. Again, God is in control of all things. So the joy that Isaiah wrote about here in verse 7 and 8 will find its final fulfillment when Israel's Messiah returns to Zion to reign. That's what verses 7 and 8 is talking about here. See, God's kingdom will come in majestic fulfillment at the second coming of Christ, according to Revelation chapter 19, verse 6. He will reign forever and ever and ever. We will reign with him in glory. So, where God reigns, peace, goodness, and salvation follow. And that's what Isaiah was proclaiming here. And that's what the Word of God proclaims to us today. We can be joyful and excited about that in our lives. See, all things will be as God designed, and His good purposes will be realized one of these days. We might not realize it right now, but as God fulfills the prophecy that we read, as we study, we will realize that one of these days, and we should be excited about it now for the things that we don't see that will come to truth in the future. So, it entails a freedom from every bondage, but particularly the bondage of sin. This world is full of sin. We recognize that. We see it every day. And God restores and renews our lives from sin when we trust Him. See, God will again demonstrate that He is the divine King of all creation. One of these days, the world will see that. The world will know that He reigns and He is the King of all creation of the universe. So as followers of Jesus Christ, we have the marvelous news of the victory to share. And that's what Isaiah is talking about in verse 7, that the good news of Jesus Christ. How does this glorious news reach people? How does it? Verse 7 says, by the feet of the God's messenger. You and I are all messengers. The beautiful feet. That's what Romans 10:15 talks about. How beautiful are the feet that shares the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what Romans 10:15 says as well. So by the feet of God's messenger, God says that the feet of those who bring the good news are beautiful. You might say, well, my feet are not so beautiful. But if you're carrying the good news, they're beautiful, right? The feet are beautiful. Everything God made is good. It's beautiful. Everything that God made. So it's a wonderful privilege to be able to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And especially the redemption that is offered through Jesus Christ. Salvation and a peace that He offers to everyone. Not only us as believers in Christ, but others who will come to the knowledge, saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So we have been given the privilege to share the good news. So how often do we do that? As often as we see one or meet someone, that we share it? Do we share the good news with those that we know that need the good news of Jesus Christ? And that's what Isaiah is talking about. How beautiful are the feet that carry the good news. Not only bad news, but this is good news. Anytime you can carry the good news of the redemption of Jesus Christ to someone else and share it with them, you have the beautiful feet. You have the beautiful message of Jesus Christ to convey to them about the risen Savior Jesus Christ. Now, looking in verse 8, the people are called to listen. You know, I don't know how many times in the Bible that word listen occurs, but it's many, many times. So anytime Jesus says listen or God says listen, we need to pay attention. We need to hear what the good news, what the message is that God wants to relate to us. And actually, as we see prophecy being fulfilled today in our world, we need to listen and hear and observe of what's taking place. Because it's exactly what Isaiah is talking about, the return of Christ one of these days. He's coming victoriously with the sound of the trumpet. And the world will know and will hear and know that He is God. God reigns. So verse 8 says, listen, you watchmen, lift up their voices. They shout joyfully together, for they will see with their own eyes. There it is. When Christ comes again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting around verse 50, it says, He will come in the twinkling of an eye. I mean, He'll come so quickly, you won't have time to blink. In the twinkling of an eye. And they will see with their own eyes when the Lord restores Zion. Zion is very precious to God. It's very precious. Chosen place where God will reign one of these days when he comes back. See, the watchmen were those watching on the walls of the messenger's arrival. They was waiting for the news, whether it was a victory or defeat. And one of these days, it will be victory when Christ comes again. He will come in triumph. And these watchmen traced the course of what was coming and what it means and what it meant. The people of the city hear the watchmen lifting up in unison their joyful voices because of the evidence that the victorious Lord is coming to restore Zion. That's the excitement. It's going to be wonderful for Zion. It's going to be wonderful for the world when God comes and brings peace finally to this world. Secondly, verses 9 and 10 talks about the salvation of our God. God provides a salvation. In verse 9, the broken places are called upon to join the joyful praise. Join me again with verse 9. Break forth, shout joyfully together, you waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. So the waste places of Jerusalem are called on to burst forth, to shout, to gather. You know, when you're at a ball game or when you're at somewhere and you're excited, almost everybody, you don't have to say, hey, it's time for a shout. You just do it automatically. You shout. And this is what would be taking place here. They would be shouting for joy. So, God is coming in victory to Jerusalem. Zion without God is a wasted place. That's what it says. Guess what? Without God, the whole world is a wasted place, right? And it might appear to be that way now, but God is on his throne and he sees and knows everything that's going on. And the world, the wonderful victory of God is a cause for all the held back emotions to break forth because God reigns. So when the Lord returns, the righteousness remnant will sing joyfully because God will have comforted and redeemed his people. He has and he will. And in anticipation of the victory of God, we too should give thanks and joyful shout ourselves. When you think about the name of Jesus, when you see the word and something stands out and speaks to you, you should shout hallelujah, amen. That speaks to me. It speaks to you. It speaks to all of us. And to give thanks in advance of the highest form of faith when God speaks to us through his scriptures or through prayer or any means that God speaks to us. Praising God for what we do not yet possess is truly believing of the promises of God. And then looking at verse 10, continues the description begun in verse 9 of the actions of God with anticipation to shout for praise. Verse 10 says, the Lord has bared his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, that all the ends of the earth may see the salvation of our God. So, the display right here of God's power against his enemy will speak comfort and redemption to the people. It should do that in our lives every day as we trust God and claim his promises. We too can see the comfort and redemption that God offers us each day of our lives. See, it will be the work of God. The Lord promised to restore Zion as a holy place where sin cannot enter. There will be no sin in Zion or Jerusalem when the Lord comes back, when he restores this world from sin. There will be none. And to lay bare his holy name means that God will reveal his power and his justice at that time. Many people say, where is justice in this world? Where is God's power? Where is God? One of these days we'll find out. We'll know. Just got to wait with anticipation, knowing that God is in control of all things. See, this restoration work of grace on their behalf will show all nations, as the verse says here in verse 10, that his power and salvation he always provides at the right time, his time. Now looking in verses 11 and 12, as we close up here this morning, verse 11 and 12 talks about our guide and guard. This good news portion heightens with the command to depart in verse 11. It says, depart, depart, go out from here, or go out from there. Touch nothing unclean. Go out of the midst of her. Purify yourselves, you who carry the vessels of the Lord. And whatever you do for the Lord, the cleansing of the vessels, or whatever you do, needs to be purified. Like in the Old Testament, when they went to the temple to worship, they had to offer sacrifices. We need to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice and purify ourselves daily from any sin, that whatever vessels we carry for the Lord, the good news will not be hindered because of sin or any distraction. So one matter which we must be careful of about in our lives is purity. We need purity in our lives. In the days long past, as Isaiah was talking about here, Cyprus entrusted Ezra with the holy vessels of the temple. And there, the watchman needed to be holy. He had to be holy. And we too have to bear the sacred trust of God's holy name with the gospel that we share each day. We do it with beautiful feet as we share. So his presence, his book, the doctrines of evangelical truth, his honor are among the vessels which we are to carry to the world. It's an awesome responsibility. It's a great privilege for us to do that. It's a great privilege for us individually to do that, to share the good news, to be the messengers, the beautiful feet to share with others. We must get up in faith and go take God's word, believing that he will go, as the scripture says, I will go before you. I will pave the way. I will make the way clear for you, for receptive hearts to receive the good news of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Now they knew what Messiah meant, their coming Savior, and they're still looking for him. Israel, we know he came. He died on the cross for our sins. They buried him. He arose and now reigns at the right hand of our Heavenly Father, interceding for us all the time, every day. And see, the thought of the deliverance of God's sanctified in verse 11 here continues in verse 12 by saying, for you will not go out in haste, nor will you go as fugitive. For the Lord will go before you, and the Lord God of Israel will be your rear guard. So, when we look behind us, we too need to recognize that heaven's rear guards are protecting us every day of our life. It is. Reminds me of a story of H.A. Ironside, who told the story of a poor lady who lived by herself. And she was possessed with fear, thinking that she was being followed all the time. Every time she went to the streetcar to go somewhere, she was being followed. Or every time she would come back home, she was being followed. So she went to her pastor and said, I need help. You know, I have two men that's following me everywhere I go. I'm afraid. And he said, well, have you reported it to the police? Yes, I did. And they said, those men are not there. But I know that they are because I see them everywhere I go. When I go to the streetcar, when I'm coming home, they're always there. So the pastor, realizing her situation, he said, you know what? I think I know who those men are. Are you sure you don't know who they are? And she said, no, I don't. And she said, do you know who they are? He said, yes, they are friends of David. And he took his Bible and he turned to Psalms 23 and began to read. And then he got to verse 6 and said, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. Now you know who those two men are. Goodness and mercy. Those are the two men that are following you. When you go to the streetcar, they're with you. When you come home, they're with you. She said, you have the most wonderful blessings of all, that you have mercy and goodness following you. So, she said, when I go now to the streetcars, go anywhere, I wait for them to get there. I open the door for them, goodness and mercy. And when I come home, I have my door open for them to enter my home, goodness and mercy. You think about that, how true that can be for us. Sure, the goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life, when we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You think about that. If you've ever been followed by two people, unknown, stranger to you, it could be goodness and mercy. Amen? Amen. So, in conclusion here this morning, God will not abandon his ancient promises just because his people have sinned. Just because you have sinned, he won't ever abandon you. The helpless, the captive of God's people, the fallen world itself await for God's final redemption. And that will be one of these days. God has won the victory over the forces of evil and hate that's in this world today, oppression and the cruelty that we see that's going on in our world today. God will provide redemption. We will have the victory because of Christ. He has redeemed us from the bondage which has held us captive to that which is worse or improper in us. And that is the good news. Actually, that's the greatest news, isn't it? So we need to proclaim the Lord's victory, that whosoever will may come into his victorious eternal kingdom of truth and light to enjoy and celebrate God's conquering servant. And who is that? The Lord of our life. The Lord of our life. And that is Jesus Christ. He will be coming one of these days. Be coming to Zion, the New Jerusalem. We'll be a part of all of that in the great kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Father God, we thank you for this day again. We thank you for the message that we receive from your word. We thank you for the book of Isaiah, who paints that beautiful picture of Christ coming back to Zion one of these days. And Lord, we are part of that big picture as well. All who believe in your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the salvation that you offer everyone who believes. And those who are listening, they don't know you personally, Lord, they can. They can be a part of your great kingdom one of these days. The great Zion, the great Jerusalem. Jesus Christ will reign. Our God reigns. Lord, bless everyone here today and those listening and those maybe that are not tuned in right now. May we be the beautiful feet that takes the message to those that don't know you and maybe never heard of you. May we take that time to offer them what we have that we found in Jesus Christ. Lord, we praise you, thank you for the salvation that you have extended to the world. May we be that beautiful feet that takes that news to them. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Let us stand as we have our closing invitation. I'll stand right here at the front. If you come down, I'll pray with you. I'll talk to you whatever the need is this morning. God will work it out with you right here at his altar.